This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
It took a 3-on-3 overtime period for the United States of America to claim gold yet again in hockey. And it was awesome. It was very short, but it was awesome. But Canadian fans have a real issue with overtime that you didn't really say much about during the tournament or beforehand. But now suddenly it's an issue. And even Nathan MacKinnon had some wild things to say at the end of that one. Also, the Colorado State Rams are red hot. They are all the way back. They beat San Diego State over the weekend. The Bears have won 7 in a row. The Nuggets clutch gene, where did it go? Can't seem to find it. They're 14-15 in clutch games. Wow. Hockey, basketball. It's all here. The whole show starts now. Might have gotten up extra early on Sunday morning to watch the gold medal game between Team USA and Team Canada. And some of you probably like me, where you got to it when you got to it. I woke up, I didn't set an alarm or anything on Sundays, and I get it, it was a special thing, but man, I get up early all week, I wasn't going to do that on Sunday morning, so I was up. Right at the end of the second period, I watched the entire third, and then, of course, overtime. And, wow. What? Just wow. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck, just... You know, I asked you, Mike, that image of the women's hockey player that had the deke move and scored to beat Canada on the women's side for gold. Where does that moment stand in Olympics history? The main save there on the one that Taves shot, they have like the overhead picture of that. That is a, man, you get that frame, you get that sign somehow by Connor, and that's worth something. Because that could be one of the greatest moments. I mean, one of. There's a lot of great moments in sports history, but that could be one of the greatest moments. I mean, it looked like that was going to be a goal. So did MacKinnon's. But it looked like Taves was going to have that. What was that, mid-third period? And goals were hard to come by in that game. And it did, yeah. It felt like Canada was, even in the broadcast and during intermissions, you kept hearing the same thing, that, man, the USA needs this to go to overtime. Because you go to overtime and, you know, it kind of comes down to a couple of face-offs. Because it's not going to last that long. So, I mean, yeah, Canada, they outplayed them for a good portion of the game. But Canada's acting like they discovered something on that. Like they're tweeting out, like, we were the better team. This is an atrocity. Welcome to sports, man. You know how many football games, basketball games, hockey games, even baseball games, you watch at college level, pro level, whatever level, and it just feels like your team that you're rooting for is not having it. They're not doing much. They've kept it close, and then suddenly they win the game, and you walk away and go, whew, I don't know how that happened, but we'll take it. That's called clutch. That's called finding ways to win, even when it's ugly, even when you're being outplayed, even when Canada outshoots you 42-28. You find a way with superior goalie play and a really special overtime. Jack Hughes, who had a weird finish in the game. You know, he gets high-sticked, he gets his tooth knocked out or chipped, and then he has a high stick a little bit later on, and he's like, I don't want to be the guy responsible for giving up a goal when I had a high stick, and then he makes the final shot, and it was a beauty of a shot. And I don't know what Nathan McKinnon was doing defensively on that play. Didn't really look like he was playing the puck. I don't know what he was trying to do. But it was a beautiful play. It was an awesome day, an awesome weekend for America. And for one moment, or at least a few moments after that game, I think people just, if you're American, then you just enjoyed the fact that your team beat a team that specializes in a particular area. They specialize in hockey. Hockey for us in the United States of America is fourth. Yeah, that's like not even the number one sport here that we are most proud of. But I'll tell you, that might change. These kind of games, man, they're so good for the American game of hockey. They're so, you know, last year's Four Nations tournament was so good for the American game of hockey. And a game like that is awesome. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Well, the good. Do we just take the gold? Is it the gold? Is it Connor Hellebuck's performance? Is it Jack Hughes' goal with, like, spitting teeth out of his mouth? All of it. All of it's good. Tirico at the end of the day with his warm message to Americans. I loved that. That was awesome, too. It was cool, man. I mean, I didn't get into the Olympics as much as a lot of people did. I dabbled, watched it on and off, mainly had it on in the background. But when it came to watching USA hockey, I was a little more dialed in. And it was, we were fortunate that some of the games were playing right here in the studio while we were doing this. So it was cool. Closing ceremonies took 5 million years. It was odd. I didn't watch the opening ceremonies. So closing, I guess they just run around, dance, and sing and stuff for a very long time. And there's theatrics to it. Okay. If you like that, that's cool. It's like a never-ending halftime show. The bad for me is the Nuggets, man. They need to do some soul-searching. They go up against a Golden State team that had nobody. And yet, they still lose. The clutch gene, where is it? They're 14-15 in clutch games. Clutch games are games that are within a 5-point margin at any point inside of 5 minutes. That's usually where the Nuggets, when they would have crappy games, they would find ways to do it with a couple minutes to go. Not finding open shots late, giving up too many open shots. David Adelman leaves Joker and Jamal out for quite a while when Golden State goes on a run. Adelman, for all the praise we gave him during the injury stretch, you have to equal that, I think, with criticism with how he's handling guys getting back into the lineup. Aaron Gordon is still out. Peyton Watson's out, but Aaron Gordon's a guy you expected from the beginning to the end to be a big contributor. Peyton, this is kind of a new thing, so to act like, well, without Watson, I'm not going to do that. But he is still, was, for the season, a significant part of what they were doing. The ugly for me is bitching about the 3-on-3 format in overtime. If you don't like it, great. There's plenty of people that don't like it, and I actually can understand why some wouldn't. And I'll get into that. But hearing, like, Team Canada head coach John Cooper, he said, you take four players off the ice. Now hockey's not hockey anymore. There's a reason overtime and shootouts are in play. It's all TV-driven to end games, so it's not a long time. There's a reason why it's not in the Stanley Cup final or the playoffs. And to be honest, like, I kind of forgot. I was shocked that they did go with the 3-on-3 format in the playoffs, but man, it's really fun. It is really fun to watch. One tiny mistake, one face-off, one turnover, anything. A game can be over just like that. And that's the type of venom in a hockey game, man, that a basketball fan like me really likes to watch three-on-three hockey. It is so much fun. And so, but if you're going to be bitching about it, like, why were they not complaining when they were winning games in overtime? Why were they not talking about this well before? You know, it just comes down to in the end. You had opportunities. Nathan MacKinnon, the best player on the planet, had a wide open shot that he even settled down for and missed. That does not happen. But you had your opportunities. And then you're going to bitch about overtime? Yeah, Team Canada, man, it's some of the best players in the world are on that 3-on-3. And yet we're going to get up here the next day and we're going to, I mean, Nathan MacKinnon told reporters, he's like, hey, you know, what is the quote? He said, you tell me who was the better team. Well, one team won the game and the other lost. We can do this all the time, man. I remember watching the Nuggets against the Thunder. Was it game one? Did they win in game one or was it game two? And it was OKC all game. They were the better team. They were good. And the Nuggets just had this weird, slow, methodical comeback win where suddenly Aaron Gordon goes down and he's wide open for a three, hits it, game over. I walked away and said, yeesh, I don't know how that happened, but it happened. Well, a great team for the moment became really great and executed in crunch time, executed when they absolutely needed to. So I'm never really crazy about the whole, in hockey probably lends itself to this more than any sport. Because you can be out playing a team, out shooting a team, but if you have a goalie that's just on another planet, then that changes things. But beat the goalie. Find a way to score. Beat the goalie. Last I checked, the goalie is a part of the team. Am I wrong on that? I think that's true. Hellebuck was better than your shot takers. So when we're saying we clearly know who the better team was, you weren't better than the goalie for Team USA. You couldn't get a lot, even easy ones. Something was there mentally blocking you from making easy shots. And then Hellebuck with the paddle, with the swat back. It was the most epic moment in maybe sports history. I just don't love. I mean, it's a gold, silver medal game. You weren't cheated. You knew the rules going into it. You knew this was going to be 3-on-3 when you go to overtime. Now, the argument can be made, because I've said this before too. I don't like things that change, you know, overtime in the NFL. It's weird because it suddenly, back in the day, it suddenly came down to whoever wins the coin flip. And I wasn't crazy about that, but we also knew the rules. Like, you know the rules, and it's fair for everyone. Team Canada matched up probably better with their three compared to the United States team. So, no, spare me on that. Like, from an excitement standpoint, man, that was, like, epic. I didn't think America was going to pull it off even in overtime. Once they got to overtime, I know that was a big deal for them. But, yeah, he said, Chris, they had a 5-on-3 and couldn't score. Yes, yes. That's on them. They didn't execute. And they're sitting here crying, you know, saying, yeah, well, it's not real hockey. Where were you complaining before overtime started? Where were those massive tweets coming out before overtime started saying, oh, this is unfair? No, you fully expected to win in overtime because you couldn't win in regulation. If you don't like how overtime works, win it in regulation. Yes, Michael.
I don't like the 3-on-3, but, you know, it benefited the U.S., so. I still don't like it. I still don't think it's great hockey, but it is what it is, and you're supposed to beat the other team.
Yeah. So I like, stop whining about it. I like it. I think it's fun. I don't know if I'd sign a petition to make it a regular thing in the playoffs. Like I said, I was shocked that it was in. I know you're nodding, you're shaking your head, but There are a lot of people that like that kind of stuff. There are a lot of people that, because it's more space, it's wide open, there's way more opportunity to score, and there are some people that aren't down with 1-0 games. You know, you hate soccer so much. There's a lot of reasons people don't like soccer are the same reasons some people don't like hockey as much. I'm just being honest with you. In a basketball game, you have so much scoring back and forth. Football nowadays, you have a lot of scoring. Favorite thing in hockey, depending on who you ask, I suppose, is badass goal. And if you get to 3-on-3, then you have more opportunities to see that. Now, I talked about this loosely Friday. Like, as far as when I'm watching a hockey game, I love watching way more than a regular three periods. When it's 3-on-3, I am on the edge of my seat. The absolute edge of my seat. Probably more so than any sporting event ever when I see 3-on-3 hockey. Because at any moment, it could change. Literally. Now they say, well, Brady, that could happen in hockey all the time. At any moment. Yeah, but you don't see guys up against the wall kicking and fighting and scrumming and kicking. And that's the stuff that I'm not big into. That part, it kind of frustrates me watching even as a fan. So I for one, love the 3-on-3 format. I think it's a blast. It is odd to me that the NHL doesn't implement that in the playoffs, or obviously their Stanley Cup playoff or their Stanley Cup series. But yeah, we did it in the Olympics. I did think that was odd, but you knew the rules. You knew the rules going into it. You can't complain after the fact about rules that were that didn't give anybody a better chance of winning than you. If you're Team Canada, you truly believe that you give me give us your three best hockey players, we'll give you ours. Guarantee you, Team Canada is still saying we like our chances until the game was over, and then it all changed. We put us up in overtime, 5-on-5, and see what happens. That's not how it works.
Well, if you really want to see who the best team is, make it a best of seven. Make it a best of seven.
No, there's no way they could do that.
They're not going to.
There's no
way. It's the Olympics. It's not that long. But, you know, if you really wanted to, let's throw down. Let's make it a best of seven. Let's do this outside the Olympics.
The best team won. They won because they won.
Yeah, they won that game, therefore they count as the best.
Well, County Swami says 3-on-3 overtime hockey is the most electric overtime there is. Zero complaints here. Zero disagreement. It is the most electric. It might not, like, hockey diehard fans are probably throwing up in their mouth listening to me talk right now, but that is, I'm saying it, better than NBA overtime, better than NFL overtime. Better than extra innings. Extra innings is kind of exciting, though, because you get to that bottom of an extra inning, and you just know. I guess it's the same way at the end of a game, but it's just there's something about at one crack of the bat or one bad pass that results in a turnover or one bad defensive positioning like Nathan MacKinnon was in. This is the first time in my life I'm ever criticizing MacKinnon, but I'll be honest, I didn't like what he had to say. I didn't like it. Now, if we were in a series and we got to play again tomorrow night or tomorrow morning and MacKinnon said it, then it's like, okay, we're juicing this thing up, man. Let's go. But it's after the fact. It's over. The Olympics are done. We were seeing all the clowns riding bicycles and dancing on stage and singing and stuff. It's over. And we're going to say, well, you watch that game and tell, what did he say? You watch that game and tell me who the better team was. I watched the end of it, and at the end of it, there was one team that won and one team didn't win. It's sports, man. You can be outplayed all the time. And then somehow you find a way. You find a way to stay close. You find a way to keep it close. And again, they had a superior goalkeeper or goalie that was better than you. Faith says, as soon as it went to that 2-on-1 situation, I had a feeling we'd score. I like the 3-on-3. It's also easier to see what's happening. Yeah, that's also true. To me, it's a lot easier to see what's going on. Eastside Chris on the Nuggets. Maybe Joker best call a players-only meeting like the UNC Bears did. Yeah, that seemed to work. Maybe go 5-on-5 first overtime, 4-on-4 second overtime, and finally 3-on-3 if needed. Well, that's the thing. They're wanting to get the games done. And he's not... Listen, John Cooper's not wrong. It is a TV design. It is also a way to get a game over with. I just hesitate thinking that is an idea, a way to get a game over with in the Olympics. It's a little different story than just a regular season game in the NHL as opposed to any game in the Olympic tournament.
Yeah, for me, I honestly care more about the NHL than the Olympics. So I'd rather see this 3-on-3, which I don't care for, in the Olympics than I would in the NHL.
No, I'm still very much about American professional leagues than I am in the Olympics. I can get swept up in the moment and it can be like, wow, that was really freaking fun. But now, in a week or two, I'll move on and be ready for, even though the Avs are back at it on Wednesday. Those games got to be tough. Because the Avs had how many players? 8 on an Olympic team this year. Kind of getting back to the real world has got to be really difficult. I mean, even as a fan, it's like, is watching the Avs just play like a regular season game, even though we're on a push for the playoffs now and all that stuff, is watching the Avs and the Mammoth on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock going to be anything close to what we just saw in some of these games in the Olympics? I mean, the Avs, or the Team USA, absolutely dog-walked Slovakia. That was just high-scoring as hell, but Team USA had no issue there. But this last game, the political spectrum part of it, I suppose, the USA versus Canada thing, it's all nuts. But it was exciting, man. 27 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, couldn't get 40? You couldn't get 40, Brock? What are we doing here? Brock Wisney had 38 points in the Bears' win over the weekend on senior night, no less, against Northern Arizona. We'll talk to Brock about that. The Bears continue, man. After starting 1-7 in Big Sky play, they are now 8-7. They just won't stop with a handful of games remaining. We'll see where they end up. It's still a tight race in the Big Sky standings. They could move as high up as into that second spot. So it'll be fun to see this finish. Brock's going to join us next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
Two dudes, one mission. To provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Interior Sprinkler Systems presents The Brock Wisney Show on KFKA.
Brock Wisney. We got the Brock Wisney show on right now. And, dude, in a game where you had to be this guy, you guys win 78-71. It's your senior night, and senior Brock Wisney, 38 points for you, man. 15 of 21, 7 of 9 from the free throw line, 5 boards, a couple of blocks, a couple of assists.
Fun game.
Let's get his mic on. He had 38 points, yeah. Michael. We can afford to turn his mic on.
He didn't have the 40. He gets punished.
Yeah. Your mic's no on.
I understand.
You didn't have 40.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
Wait, didn't you have? Wasn't it 28 against Texas Tech?
29. Yeah.
29,
yeah.
And I gave you crap for not getting to 30.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, I got to 30.
Well, you know, now I'm 1-4.
I missed two free throws.
Why'd you miss those two free throws, Brian?
The other guy was on the other team. He's like, your rotation looks weird on your ball. And I was like, does it look weird? And then I shot it and missed. Both the times I missed my free throws. But,
and that got to you?
I don't know. I shot it long. I was like, maybe I was trying to have good rotation instead of just, you know.
I've never noticed anything off on your rotation. This guy's trying to mess with you, man.
Yeah, he's just getting in my head a little.
I mean, at that point, how many points did you have?
I have no idea. I have no idea. It was free throws.
You were in the zone, man. Just an incredible game by you. And to do it. To do it on the senior night, because I talked to Coach Smiley, you know, you still have one more home game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Monday, though.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the powers that be all kind of looked at it and said, we'd rather do it over the weekend. Yeah. So if you're having family in, you have a couple of days and it's not like at the start of a work week or whatever. So it just made more sense to do it during this Northern Arizona game on Saturday.
Yeah. We still got one more home game, but it was fun. You know, I had a good amount of family there. My grandparents were able to make it and some other people, and most of my family, actually two of my siblings were gone, so it's a big family, can't always be there.
Well, a lot of your siblings are just doing great things, too.
Yeah, they're off doing whatever. My sister, she's in Florida at like a FCA conference. Briggs, the little one, he was at a little church camp out in the mountains. But
so they couldn't skip that stuff.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you can't do that. but what a night for you guys. And again, from 1-7 to now 8-7 in the Big Sky Conference, there was some pretty down moments for this team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just kind of wonder, and you always kept your spirits up, even when you come in here, you're like, you know, we're better than this. We know we could do it. But was there ever a part in the back of your mind when you're 1-7 where you're like, are we that good of a team? I mean, I thought we were, but maybe we're not.
Well, there was two lows, man. You know, Sac State was a game we were up 18 on the road and come back, and that was more of like an angry low. Like, Smiley's like, what's going on? We got to play better. But then, you know, Northern Arizona, that one was tough because it was kind of going into this last stretch of the season, the last one-third of the season, and he's like, okay, we're going to turn this around. You know, we have our team meeting, and it feels good. We go to NAU, and we drop that one in a close game as well. And that was more of like a man, like this sucks, like almost like a depression low. But that's when, you know, we came together and, you know, we talked as a team and we figured stuff out. But, you know, we were saying before the game, we're like, we got to remember back, like the last time this team beat us is when, you know, we were at the bottom of it all. So just, you know, remembering that stuff and some extra motivation and mentality is big time.
Shortly after that, you guys had your team meeting, you know, or your player meeting. And we've talked a lot about that, but it's all been a really positive thing.
Yeah.
And it was more just about guys being, as from what you told me, you guys just being honest with each other.
Yeah.
Airing out their own frustrations, not really about anyone other than themselves and how they can just be a better teammate on a nightly basis.
Yeah, just connecting better. And ever since then, it's been great. You know, I think that we have so much fun. And every single day, whether it's us lifting in the weight room, it's kind of just natural now. Instead of, you know, and it was hard during that stretch, kind of felt like we were trying too hard to connect. Whereas now it's kind of just flowing free.
Are you at the point now? You have three games remaining, and obviously this is a convoluted mess here.
Huge stretch, man.
Is there a part in your brain, though, that's like, man, I just want to get there. I just want to get to this tournament.
You know, you want to get there. At the same time, though, man, I realize this is my last three regular season games ever of my college career.
So you're kind of trying to take steps.
Slow it down a little bit even. I'm like, man, like, this is crazy. You know, just trying to appreciate each one. I'm excited to play every game, and I think that that's a blessing to be able to realize that right now.
Yeah, and that's a great thing to do because there's three games remaining in the regular season. Then, of course, we have the tournament, but especially this week. I mean, once you guys tip off on Thursday, the rest is going to go pretty fast.
It is. I mean, three games in 5 days and then pretty much straight to the Big Sky tournament. So I mean, I got, what, like a week and a half, two weeks of basketball left in my career. I really got to, you know, appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, so you'll be at Eastern Washington on Thursday. Then you're at Idaho on Saturday. Then you play Montana on Monday.
Yeah.
When do you leave for the tournament?
So the tournament is, I think the middle group is on Monday, you said, right?
Yeah.
The next Monday.
Yes,
so.
And that's where we're wondering maybe.
So we'll probably leave and get there 2 days before the game, whereas on road games, we always get there 1 day before. So if we play on Monday, we'll probably leave Saturday just to get there, watch the first games or whatever our seating is. We'll probably get there 2 days early.
Okay. So, but it's going to be a really jam-packed schedule
For
you guys. Like we said, once Thursday rolls around, You're not going to come up for air.
No. We go to Cheney and play Eastern Washington, then to Moscow, Idaho, straight home, play the home game, and then obviously turn the sights to the Big Sky tournament. So where it's almost like a sprint at this point. Just give everything you have to every game and push through.
Let's take a look when we come back. We'll look at the standings and look at the score, the upcoming games, and you know, because we're gonna be doing some over here. We're gonna be doing some scoreboard watching as well. But there is still a chance the Bears, you guys, could get to second place.
I mean, that looks great right now.
Yeah, there's a realistic chance that could happen, and that would be really fascinating.
That would be
39 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break, Michael, and jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
The Brock Quisney Show rolls on this Monday, February 23rd, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems, a great sponsor here of the program, great Bears supporter. I know Shane's probably just been loving this,
man. They were on the sideline last game. They actually had a shirt with me, Quinn, and Zach on it. And
nice.
One of them had a shirt of me, and it said, I don't know why this is my nickname, but the butt blocker, Brock, apparently.
What, the butt blocker?
Yeah.
You use your butt to block out, maybe?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
I think that it comes to offense. I think that they think that the way I back down, you know, I...
Hey, you know, they're having some fun with it, man.
Yeah.
So we have a shirt somewhere? That's a shirt?
That is a shirt.
How do I get a hold of that shirt?
You're going to have to ask Shane.
Okay, I'm sure he'll hook me up with that.
I don't think he's wearing that one. It's not him, but...
Somebody's wearing it. Yeah. I need to get a hold of this somehow.
Yeah, you can have it,
By the way, we haven't forgot. If you guys do win the entire tournament, we still expect, you know, Garth Brooks.
Okay. Yeah,
Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing that's happening.
Okay. I'm not promising that it'll be good.
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm just making sure.
Micah talks all day, and it's not great, but he still does it because he's brave.
As long as it's entertaining. If it's entertaining for people, I'll do it.
Yes. Yeah. All right, these standings are crazy, man. You guys, I mean, there's a small chance you could play Saturday, March 7th. There's a small chance you could play Sunday, March 8th in your first game. Probably a larger chance that you're playing in the on Monday, March 9th for your first game, as the 4 seed would play the 5 seed and the 3 seed would play the 6 seed. But the standings are tight right now. I mean,
it's crazy.
You're a game behind Montana State. However, they beat you twice, so they have the tiebreaker there, so you would need them to lose two of their final three.
Yep.
Eastern Washington, you beat them once already, so if you beat them, then you're in a really good spot.
Yeah.
They're 9-6, and then you would be 9-7, and they'd be 9-7. You'd have the tiebreaker for the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Idaho's interesting because they're right behind you guys, nipping at your heels. They're 7-8, and so beating them obviously would pretty much guarantee you'd be out of the fourth spot.
Yeah.
So I think actually maybe even beating Eastern Washington might come down to that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's all the way from 7 up to 2. Anything can shuffle around right now. So, you know, it's just kind of taking care of business one game at a time because that's what we have to do. You know, each one of these is just as important as the other. So, I mean, we have to go into it the right mentality.
Is there any chance so Portland State's 12-3. Montana State's 9-6. Is there any chance Montana State could leapfrog Portland State and take the number one spot?
So let me think. I think so. They haven't played again. I believe that Portland State beat Montana State the first time around.
Yep.
So I think that they could, if Portland State loses out and Montana State won out, that would actually go to tiebreaker, which would be the next highest team, which would come down to how the final seedings went. So they could. It's technically possible.
And who
they would
knows?
Share. They would share regardless the regular season title, but the seeding wise, it could. It could. Yeah.
Well, and if that's right. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's just so many different scenarios now.
Oh, even EWAS.
I mean, it's going to be a photo finish,
crazy.
Man.
It's pretty crazy.
So as far as the big games starting up on Thursday. Portland State and Montana State on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Sacramento State will play Montana.
Yeah.
These are all games. Basically, if there's a 6 or 7 in that loss column, we're paying attention because you could jump one of those teams.
Yeah.
Northern Arizona and Idaho, we're going to go ahead and root for Northern Arizona to put Idaho out and make sure they're finished in the bottom four. And then, of course, you guys against Eastern Washington, which is a huge game.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's if you're a fan right now of the Big Sky, this is the time to pay attention because with all the standings and coming down to the finish, it'll be interesting to you know, lock into.
All right, man. When we come back, let's do the let's take a look at your game ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
38 points?
Well, it's not me.
And you're not going to give yourself the game ball?
I'm not deserving.
Oh, I don't know what it's going to take. It's probably going to take 50. It's take 50
I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
For you to do it. All right, we'll see. We'll give out the game ball of last weekend's game against Northern Arizona coming up next. It's the Brock Wisney Show presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com.
The Joker back. Will the Nuggets make a run? Find out with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
I mean, You can't give yourself the game ball now because
you've
set this up and you're just not going to do it. But man, you is in the back of your mind at all?
No,
take the game ball.
I didn't win the game for us. You know,
I mean 38
no,
points. 38 of the 78. Pretty
two turnovers. Those two turnovers.
Yeah, only two turnovers.
Costly turnovers.
You had the ball in your hand. The only free throws you missed because some guy was like saying your rotation was off.
I should have stayed locked in.
Yeah, that's your punishment. Yeah. No game ball for you because you did stay locked in for that one moment.
Yeah.
Where are you going with this then, man?
I'm going with who actually won us the game in this last stretch is Zach. He made like two super key defensive plays. One was the charge, which was like insanely timely.
Good choice.
And then also coming down the stretch, they held the ball for the last shot. There was 19 seconds left. They were down one. They decided to go for the game winner, one shot. So they ran it down. They ISO'd Zach with the Komen guy who did well, and Zach got a huge stop on him as well. So I think Zach deserves it there. He won us the game down the stretch.
Look at you go with a defensive side here.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, what was going through your head in that last?
I was scared.
That last stretch,
I was
man.
Like,
because nothing's going for you guys. Like in that 2 minute stretch, just nothing's going in.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't falling. I mean, we were saying get stops, which we were trying to.
You were doing.
They were getting to the free throw line still sometimes, but. You know, I think that last stretch and especially that last possession, I thought that there was a chance they held it. And when they didn't attack right away, I'm like, oh, they're going for the game winner, which kind of sucks because if they hit that, that's it.
That's it.
But Zach got that huge stop. You know, Quinn got the rebound and he missed the first free throw. So we missed the second one intentionally, made him throw it up from full court, and it didn't fall.
Yeah. And we've seen some of that, you know, go the wrong way in the past.
I have. You know, last year, the Idaho, you know, half court game winner kind of thing, you know, we've seen it. We've seen it.
Well, you guys are absolutely cooking.
Yeah.
Three games remaining. What are we doing? Because Monday, you'll be in Greeley, though.
We will.
So
yeah.
Are you coming by Monday? Or are you?
How about like Tuesday or Wednesday?
We can
we can wrap up the regular season and going into the Big Sky tournament.
Yeah, and then we'll be ready once you'll be Big Sky Conference tournament champions.
Yeah.
And we'll be ready to hear some Garth Brooks live.
You know, I'm kind of scared for that, honestly.
Do we need like a guitar or anything?
No, absolutely. I can't play a guitar.
Well, I know, but like have Michael play something in the background?
He can throw the instrumental on there and, you know.
Maybe.
Like a karaoke or something.
Yeah, we could probably find the... Friends in Low Places instrumental, Michael? Yeah?
Maybe.
Not giving me a lot of confidence, but we'll see.
It's all right. If not, I could do some other stuff. You know
no. You got to do it. Whether we get music or not, you got to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be awesome. Brock, it's been so much fun. I know we just got a couple of shows left.
Yeah.
Like you said, kind of a recap of the season next week, and then a follow-up likely after the Big Sky Conference tournament.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to those programs as well. But, man... what a game for you. Your time at UNC has been so much fun to watch, and I'm glad I got to know you more as opposed to just watching you. You know, getting to know you more through this show has been a blessing, man. So we really appreciate it.
I've had so much fun here, man, on the show. It's been awesome.
You've been excellent. Absolutely excellent.
I've been the best I can be.
And that's pretty dang good.
Not great.
Not 40, but 38's pretty good. 38's pretty good. Brock, appreciate you, man. Good luck on Thursday, and we'll catch up with you. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, thank you. See you then.
All right, man. The whole show coming up. We got top stories of the day. The Tush Push is in the news. Former Broncos running back. Kind of getting paid. All that and more coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.